always like this Sunday before Thanksgiving because I get to see a lot of our college kids come home for the break. It's been neat to get to shake your hands and hug your necks this morning. It's also funny to see how you change. I have pictures of some of these kids when they couldn't grow facial hair if their life depended on it. Now I got at least one come back looking like a duck commander. So, guys, it's good to have you home. And I know your families are glad to have you back, for a while. A few nights ago, I was sitting down reading a book just before going to bed. And, well, because it was getting to be a bit late, and I was pretty tired, I found myself looking ahead to see how many pages were left in the chapter that I was reading. And some of you nodding your heads, you've done this before. And when I got done with it, it's a good book, so I thought, no, I don't want to put it down now. So I started reading ahead to see how long the next chapter was and deciding whether or not it was worth staying up to finish the next chapter or to just put it up till tomorrow and then pick it up again. This past week has been a lot like that for our family. A month ago, we were looking ahead to see how many pages were left in this particular chapter of life, and well, while it was short, there were still a good number of pages remaining. Now, we're quickly nearing the last page, so near, in fact, that this morning is going to be the last opportunity that I have to speak with you in this particular venue, perhaps for some time. And so preparing for today, I've rarely been known to be found at a loss for words. No comments from y'all. But this is one of those times, perhaps. I wanted to be able to say something profound and lasting that would resonate with you for the years to come. And then I thought, yeah, right. That would be like finding a UT fan wearing an Aggie shirt of his own free will. It just ain't going to happen. Instead, what I'd like to do this morning is take a little bit of time to reflect on the last several years that I've had here at Woodland Oaks. And I would like to draw some observations about this body of believers. Observations that, at least for me, illustrate why Woodland Oaks has been and is such a wonderful place to call home. And if you're visiting with us and looking around for a church home, I hope that perhaps these thoughts and these observations will answer some of your questions about this family here. For members, I hope that maybe as we take some time to speak this morning that, well, I hope to stir up reminders that will solidify in your own hearts what a treasure God has placed here in this community. And why it is worth devoting your time and efforts to serve the Lord in this place. And the first thing I want to note is that Woodland Oaks is a place to call home because the worship is true and heartfelt. Psalm 95, 1-5 reads, "O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hands are the depths of the earth, and the heights of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land." This is one of many passages that is embodied by this family here whenever we gather together to sing praises to our God. I have visited many congregations throughout my years of life, and coming from just childhood growing up, from the years that I spent with the chorus at Freed Hardeman, traveling to various parts of this country. And I can say with a pretty good deal of confidence that the singing here is the best of any. And one might ask, well, why is it so good? Well, I think there's a few reasons that help explain that. First of all, I think it's because we have such a high caliber of leadership, and that high caliber is maintained. With men such as Sonny at the helm, we're not allowed to become slack in our efforts. We are reminded at least four times every year about the three E's: energy, engagement, and enthusiasm. And I won't bother to explain why I had to call him for the third one. We know we have such a high caliber that it's hard not to sing well when you have passionate leadership. But I think also the frequency of our singing attributes to this, to the worship being so good. Not only do we have the normal Sunday morning and Sunday evening assemblies in which we get to sing together, but the first Wednesday singing has become a favorite for all. But it's more than just a night to request a song that has been on our hearts. It's a special night when the Christians hear, and I might add, there are many who come and visit from other congregations on that one Wednesday night out of the month because of what we do. It's a special night when the Christians here are able to encourage and teach one another in a way that lifts the soul and the mood in what may be a pretty rough week for some of us sometimes. Knowing the way that music can affect a person's soul and how it does, it's no wonder that the frequency of our singing helps to make it so effective here at Woodland Oaks. The worship here is also so meaningful because there is a balance of tradition and contemporary, the old and the new. Perhaps many of us know folks that we're close to, and we've been to places that will only sing one kind of song or another. And when you ask about it, there's almost a discouragement toward the other side of that spectrum because they just don't like it. They're old, they're archaic, or they're too new, and I don't like the way they sound. And so I've even heard folks say they're not scriptural, and you can go there if you want to, but with another discussion for another time. But there is value in making sure that older and newer songs are utilized and taught in a balanced fashion. Traditional hymns serve to remind us of the faith of those who have come before us. The often deep and elegant lyrics chronicle the highs and lows of God's people throughout the centuries. For many of us, these hymns take us back to a time, to the days when our own faith was young, and we were just beginning to understand what it means to love and follow the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Contemporary hymns bring to life the spirit and the creative talents that God has blessed our modern world with. The passion for praise and the vibrant sounds show us that God's church is relevant today and throughout all times, and it is not just an archaic belief system that has lost its meaning. And perhaps the sharing of these new lyrics even gives us hope for the future of the Lord's church and of His people, knowing that there are still those in this world whose desire is to lift up praise and admiration to our Creator and Savior. And that is not just something that has been preserved from years past. But I would also add the observation that the worship is so meaningful here because it is shared with those outside of this body of believers. Thanks to resources that God has put at our disposal, there are numerous CDs and tracts that are available to simply give out to your friends and family, which we do. These tracts have been spread across Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Alabama, and I'm sure there are many other places that I don't even know about. Indeed, with passionate praise enjoyed within these walls and shared throughout the body, Woodland Oaks is a great place to call home because the worship is true and it is heartfelt. But another reason why this is such a wonderful place to call home is because the Bible is taught and it is desired. In Psalm 119, we read, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." The Scriptures are ever so critical to the life of the church, not just as individual members, but as an entity. It is imperative that the Scriptures be a part of this walk. For it is in these sacred writings that we learn what God has done for us and how we are to respond to it. And though there be men who would abuse them, societies that would seek to discredit them, and philosophies that would aim to remove them, the Scriptures will always be the ultimate standard for the things we do and the decisions we make. This is the belief and practice of Woodland Oaks, where the Bible is desired by its members, who are committed to making sure that it is taught constantly and thoroughly. But don't just take my word for it. Consider the ways in which this is manifested throughout the congregation. For the last 5 years, the leadership at Woodland Oaks has challenged the congregation to read through the entirety of the Bible within a year. This endeavor is capped off each year with a steak dinner for those who accomplish the goal. It was estimated in 2012 around 65 to 70 members completed that challenge. But I'm just curious. Out of curiosity, I'd like to see a show of hands real quick. If you have read through the Bible at least once within the last 5 years, would you please raise your hand? Folks, you're not going to find many places where you can get this high of a number of people to say that they've read through the entire Bible within their entire lives, much less done it at least once within an entire year in a five-year period. And we've all discussed the many valuable things that come when a soul is constantly in the Word. Things such as a greater understanding of the Scriptures, especially when we begin to see them in full context. And we also find ourselves thinking more spiritually about life because the Word is ingrained in our minds and it is more readily brought to the forefront of our minds when it is needed. But such devotion to the reading of God's Word also has its effects on the Bible classes at Woodland Oaks. We have here one of the finest Bible school programs that I've ever had the privilege of being a part of. And that begins with our wonderful core of teachers. Another show of hands, please. How many of you are or have taught a Bible class, let's shorten it, within the last 2 years? Again, 3 years? Okay, let's go to five. A few more hands. Let me say, as a Bible class coordinator and as a parent, thank you. Thank you so very much, because I know it's not easy, especially depending upon what grade you're teaching. It's also time-consuming, and we have busy people here at Woodland Oaks. But without you, the Bible school would not be to the caliber that it is. And while I'm here, let me also extend an amount of thanks on Ken's behalf for the number of people who teach and for the caliber of that teaching. Because of that, he has rarely been tapped to teach a quarter-long class unless he just simply wanted to, as the preacher of this congregation here. Now, those of you who have been in and around the church for a long time will understand the magnitude of that observation. We've all been to places where the pulpit preacher was the primary class teacher and he never got a break about on anything. And yet we have such a great core of teachers that even our pulpit preachers allow to step back and breathe a little and be fed instead of constantly having to feed with no sustenance of his own. But a teacher cannot have a class without attentive students, which is why Woodland Oaks' love for the Bible is illustrated by the attendance and participation of those in Bible classes. A couple of years ago at the Teachers Appreciation Banquet, one of the deacons got up and he reported on the attendance ratios between the assemblies and our Bible classes. And at that time, the number was somewhere around the vicinity of 75 to 80% of the people who come to assembly also stay to take part in the Bible classes. 75 to 80%. Pretty astounding. Those numbers are practically unheard of throughout our brotherhood. But we are not just filling the seats with bodies with that 75 to 80% of people. We are absorbing, processing, and reasoning the scriptures together. Ken and I have chuckled several times about the community Bible class, which meets on Thursday mornings. When he, as the facilitator, wants to skim over a section, you don't let him. In fact, you refuse to let him do a simple survey of a section. Instead, there is a persistent desire to go verse by verse in whatever book you may be studying. Oh, and while we're there, let's also mention the fact that the numbers within that class have grown substantially over the last few years. You can't hardly walk through the lobby without tripping over a chair or bumping into a table anymore because of the folks who have decided to come and be a part of that Bible study each week. Even our kids are walking away with great amounts of knowledge. Our littlest ones have things like the Bible Builders, in which they learn a new memory verse every week, and they hear stories from the Bible to illustrate life lessons. Our older elementary kids go through memorization steps like the Tree of Knowledge and the Armor of God study. And instruction like this prepares them for life, but it also sticks with them as they move on to other chapters in their own lives. As an example, one of our college kids a couple of years ago, he was attending Harding where the Bible classes are mandatory. And in his freshman year, he was asked, his mom asked him, well, you know, how's that class going? Because, you know, they can be kind of hard when you get to collegiate level. And his response was, well, it's not anything I haven't already studied in class or heard from Mr. Ken's sermons. I think that's a pretty neat statement. God blesses a people who love his word, cherish it in their hearts, and instill it in their minds. Woodland Oaks is indeed a church known for being in their Bibles, which is one of the reasons why this is such a good place to call home. But thirdly, let me also observe that this is such a good place to call home because the family truly loves one another. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, we see this depiction of the earliest Christians. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The characteristics of the church mentioned in this passage hit especially close to home for me and my family. And I would appreciate it if you'd indulge me for just a moment as I share a couple of personal stories. When we moved here in 2005 as a young married couple, we had very little to our name. Both physical possessions, we fit everything that we owned and my wife's car in a 40-foot trailer pulled by Mark Johnson. That's not a lie. Everything we owned and a car. We had very little in physical possessions, but we also had very little in established relationships here. We were coming in relatively cold to a place that we didn't know. In some ways, we were starting from scratch. But it didn't take long for us to realize that God was going to take care of us through this family here at Woodland Oaks. Some ways were small in which we were taken care of, but they still carried a very big impact. For at least the first year that I was here, every Monday morning I would come into my office and I'd check my email to find a note from Janice Rowe. Sometimes these notes reflected on the previous Sunday's Bible class as related by her son, Andy. And sometimes they were just simply short, quick notes just to offer up a word of encouragement. And as small of an effort as that may have been on her part, they became something that I very much look forward to finding at the beginning of each new work week. And over the years, there have been numerous other notes and emails and cards that we have received from various members with similar messages. And every single one of them has been cherished and meaningful. One more personal story to illustrate my point that the church here takes care of one another. I will call it the water pipe and the Fosters. Some of you know it. In 2007, as we were awaiting the arrival of our oldest son, of our firstborn, we were in an apartment complex up on 1488, and we were trying to get the nursery ready, and most of you in here have had kids. You know what that's like with your firstborn. You want to have, everything's got to be perfect, got everything in place. You get as much of the nice stuff as you can. I was hanging the very last shelf, and the nursery was going to be ready. And as I proceeded to drill the pilot hole for the screw, I found the stud. And so I, being DIY, I know what I'm doing kind of guy, I pushed my way through the stud. It wasn't a stud. It was a water pipe. But it wasn't just any water pipe. It was the high-pressure water pipe for the emergency fire sprinkler system. So as I pulled it out, I hear, and I thought, oh, great. So I take off running, told Paige I'm going to go tell him what's happened. In the 3 minutes it took me to jump in the car, drive to the front, tell them what happened, and then came back, I find my wife, seven, eight months pregnant at the time, just squalling, it's ruined, it's all ruined. And I walked in, and what had started as a small drill hole was now about the size of a ping pong ball. And there was water being sprayed across the room, and it was peeling the paint off the other side of the room. An hour and a half later, 2 inches of water later, they finally got it shut off. And we found ourselves with water coming under the walls, going into the living room, dripping down into the apartment below us. We didn't know what we were going to do. But before the water was ever even shut off, Brent and Shauna Foster were there at the apartment, and they said, you're coming to stay with us. And for about a week or so, that's where we lived. We had our surrogate family to take care of us. And that was no small gesture, I can assure you. And these are just some personal stories, but they are a glimpse of the ways that the Woodland Oaks families have rallied around one another in their times of need. And we've risen to challenges on a corporate level as well. Remember, throughout the years, we've raised money for the orphanage at Lima, Peru. And for the last 5 years, we have been able to bless several families at Impact by taking part in their Adopt-A-Family program. And that is in addition to those who have spent years going down on a monthly visit to Impact to work in the distribution center. And I think I can say, if memory serves me correctly, there has never been a goal that Woodland Oaks has been challenged to meet that it hasn't met. We have succeeded in rallying to help everyone that we have said we would help. And we see this love expressed on a more individual level. One of the things that has mesmerized me about this congregation is the fact that Woodland Oaks does not have an official visitation ministry. I'm sure Brian Lee will take care of that before he's done, but it's worth noting that even though no official ministry is in place, people are still checked on when they're sick. Cards are still written. Visits are still made. Every year on my birthday and on mine and Paige's anniversary, my phone rings and I don't even have to look to see who it is who's calling, because I know that Bogus Smith is going to be on the other end of that line when I answer. And he's going to say, I have a question for you. Media tools such as the prayer group and Facebook are consistently filled with messages of friendship, concern, and prayer. And speaking of prayer, I want to publicly express my appreciation for the way in which the eldership here loves and cares for this flock. Every meeting that they have begins with a time of prayer, and it would be very difficult for me to convey to you the passion that they have when coming before the Lord on your behalf. These men take their role and responsibility seriously. One, because of their love for the Lord, but number two, because of their love for you. Which is why, from the elders all the way down to the youngest of members, this family of love is a good place to call home. But finally, I would like to observe that this is such a good place to call home because the potential is limitless. This past summer, a group of 10 of us made a journey to the top of Mount Massive in Colorado. You can go ahead and start working on that if you want to, Terry. And to be frank, the 14,000-foot mountain tested most all of us to the limit of our physical capability. But with encouragement from one another and strength given to us by God, we finally summited the second highest mountain in all of Colorado. And I'd like to do something a little out of the ordinary and share with you a video clip of what that day was like. About 2 minutes long. And it was taken on a phone, so you'll understand that the audio is not the best and whatnot. But I want to share this with you and make a point afterward. So, Terry, if you would. Felt like we couldn't go any further. We were sick. We were exhausted. We were battered by rain and hail. And we just knew that this was not going to get done. This was a very, very bad idea. Sometimes we had to focus less on the summit and more on just simply reaching the next checkpoint or the next campsite. And yet with each checkpoint and with each campsite, the end goal was that much closer. And finally, as we stood on that peak with what seemed like the whole world beneath us, there was nothing that seemed impossible after that. With the strength that God had given us, we had accomplished what we didn't think we could accomplish. The same is true for Woodland Oaks, right here, right now. Some 20 years ago, God blessed this congregation with a small amount of talent as a handful of families convened together to start this congregation. And I don't know what they had in mind at the time, other than being a faithful group of Christians serving the Lord together. There have been some struggles in those years. We've been sick, exhausted, and pelted by the storms of life. But look around. Seriously, look around. Right now, at the wealth of ability and faith that is here in this moment. I'm reminded of Jesus' parable of the talents and what the master said to the two servants who returned with more money than they had originally been given. He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much." Imagine what could be done for the Lord's kingdom with the resources that God has put in place. The potential is, dare we say it, limitless. The question is, what will you do with these resources that God has blessed us with? If you will use them properly and to their fullest, there will be nothing which this body of believers cannot accomplish in the scope of God's plan. Jesus adds at the end of that very parable, "For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." It is my prayer, and frankly my expectation, to hear of the great things that will continue to be done for the Lord's kingdom from this congregation. Because with so many resources at your disposal and the Lord on your side, the potential is indeed limitless. A good home is something that we all desire. As Christians, it is something that we need to help us walk faithfully with God. And when you find a good home, you need to take the time, to acknowledge the things that make it such. WOCC has served as the home for the Waddells. And I have no doubt it will continue to serve as that home for many others for many years to come. A home where the worship is true and heartfelt, where the Bible is taught and desired, where the family truly loves one another, and where the potential is limitless. If you're looking for a place to settle in and get to work, I hope you will give this family here at Woodland Oaks a strong consideration. If you're struggling with sin and need prayers for strength, this is a good place to get them. And if you need to become a Christian by repenting of your sins and submitting to Christ in baptism, where his blood will wash you clean, this is a great place to begin that walk with the Lord. So if you have any need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you please come while we stand and sing?